Good morning, everyone. In the absence of Neil, may I extend a very warm welcome to you all. I know we have a few visitors with us this morning, so we just extend a very, very warm welcome to them, and we trust that they may feel, along with ourselves, just God's richest blessing. I know there's visitors from Grey Abbey here, but also I believe there's visitors as far away from Australia with us this morning. You must have left early. But you're very, very welcome to join with us this morning. I'm afraid there is a number of announcements, so if you bear with me. First of all, in the absence of Neil, we welcome Scott back into the pulpit this morning. For those who don't know Scott, he's a member of our congregation here, and he's in the second year of his studies in Bible College, so he's leading our service this morning, and we welcome him very much. And I believe it was his birthday yesterday, so many happy returns to Scott, too. Oh, hold on. No. Also, can I just say, the discipleship groups are this week, and they're studying what Scott is preaching on this morning, the passage that Scott is preaching on. So the leaders and all the members of the discipleship groups, just bear that in mind. That's this week. Also coming up on Friday night, there's a games night in the main hall, a family games night organized by our fellowship committee, and that's for everybody on Saturday night. I'll just tell you. On Saturday night at 7 o'clock, and it's free, and there'll be supper and be good crack, and everybody is welcome to come to that. At 7 o'clock sharp on Saturday evening. And coming up very, very soon is, first of all, our first aid training. It's done every 3 years, so it's required very, very shortly. So it'll be on the 19th of November. So we need representation from each organization, each ministry. So if the leaders could organize that and give the name to Leonard as soon as possible, preferably this week, that would be great to put that in place. So that's the 19th of November. And also, away back in August, we decided that the men would go to the rugby, the Barbarian match, on the 11th of November. So just remember that. That's a Friday week. The bus will be leaving here roughly around about 6 to 6.15, and the match starts at 7.30 p.m. So just remember all the men there who've got tickets booked for that. That's on Friday week, the 11th of November. And also, membership classes are starting. So if you're thinking about joining our church or congregation, I'd like to hear more about it and what we stand for and what Trinity is all about, please do put your name down in the list in the vestibule and in the welcome areas. I know there are a lot of people who were away last week at the Vibe weekend, and some of the leaders are also. So there's a thing I have to read out, and it had to be done last Sunday and this Sunday again. It's about the eldership. And I have to read the thing out, but it's law of the church. So if you bear with me. The elders have prayerfully considered adding to the existing Kirk session. We are a busy and growing congregation. Two aspects of our congregational life that are both exciting and challenging for those in spiritual oversight. These aspects are identified, and the election of elders is supported in the recent Presbytery consultation report. We believe that this is the appropriate time to explore God's will for the leadership of this congregation. The permission of Presbytery has been sought and granted, and today, like last Sunday, we are formally announcing that we are beginning the process of the election of elders. In accordance to the code of the church, we have to read out two paragraphs. The duty of a ruling elder, or members of Kirk Session, is to work together with the minister in the oversight and government of the congregation for the upbuilding of God's people in the spiritual fruitfulness and holy concord, and of the extension of Christ's kingdom among all people. Ruling elders, by their calling, share equally with the minister in responsibility for the practical witness of both within the congregation and the wider world. In the discharge of his duties, each elder should be assigned a district or special responsibilities within the congregation in which he may more particularly represent the Kirk session by visitation, private counsel, and report. But the Kirk session may assign each other duties as they see fit. To the chosen of the office of eldership in the congregation, a person must be a voting member of the congregation and in regular attendance at its ordinance. He should be exemplary in his conduct, both in church and in the world, of knowledge, piety, and endeavour to maintain the worship of God in his family and held in esteem by the people. Women shall be eligible for election on the same conditions as men. A ruling elder shall not hold office of more than one congregation at the same time, except as a member of an interim session. This shall not apply to retired ministers who may be members of the congregation. The timetable of the election of elders is the announcement of election over two Sundays, that's last Sunday and today. The voters list are up on the notice board in the vestibule and in the welcome areas, and that will stand for up to this week. And please do check that your name is on that if you are a voting member. And if there's any discrepancies, please speak to me as soon as possible. Neil will speak on eldership over the next three Sundays. That's the 6th, the 20th, 13th, and the 20th of November. On the 20th of November of that and that week, a nomination papers will be given to each voting person. And the nominations and the voting papers should be returned on Sunday, the 4th of December. That'll give the month for the candidates to be approached and to be considered. And the list of those that will accept eldership will be formally announced on the 15th and the 22nd of January, with a vote for the congregation in early February. Training there will be given round about February, March, and the installation should be in early spring. We are aware that this is a long drawn out affair, but it has to be this way. Method 2 of the code is what we're using and has been adopted by the session at the minute. And certainly there will be the sermon series will be starting next week. And then the nomination papers will have blank lines, and it gives you an opportunity to vote for one person if you can only think of one person. And if you can think of eight, you may put eight down. We're looking for nominations that are capable, but you think, that serve as elders of this congregation. There is also at the bottom of the voting list and the notice boards rules and regulations of voting members, and that's on the notice board. So if you have any questions, please do wait maybe till after the eldership series is run from the church, and then we'll answer any questions that come forward. You know, as a congregation, we like to support and to encourage and to just say thanks to God for what happens in people's lives. And birthdays are one of the things we do celebrate, especially if they finish with an O, when they're big birthdays. And I'm looking around, this person had a big birthday this week, and you know, I don't think she's here. But we'll celebrate it anyway. Could we have a photograph up first of all? We competition. Anybody know who that is? Everybody knows that person. Stick the next one up. Sander, no. Correct. It's Heather. And if she was here, I was going to say, I don't know who cut her fringe. Because it's no too straight. You just flick through the other ones, Philip. You're starting to get an oar now, well. and that's her present time. And I wouldn't like to say what age she is, but if she has the same number of years again, she'll be getting a special telegram from the Royal. But I wouldn't tell you what age she is. So as usual, we'll sing Happy Birthday in Heller's absence.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Heather. Happy birthday to you.
Hand over to Scott.
Well, I must have done something right in the summer because I'm back. Just on top of what George has said, I'd like to extend a warm hand of welcome to everyone here today, both new and old and far and near. I welcome you to all. And I just want to thank you for having me back here again. It's a great chance for me to grow in my ministry and to where I'm heading and wanting to go, and an opportunity for me to talk about the great gospel in Jesus that we have. Before the service here, we were in praying in the minister's room, and something that I was just praying for was for hearts to be turned, for lives to change, for people who don't know Christ to know him, to pray for revival, that the Spirit would fill this church right now into the hearts of everyone here, and they may have a relationship with God, that not just here, but he would sweep over this village, this community, and this peninsula, that hundreds of people come to know Jesus Christ. In Psalm 116, verses 8 to 9, it says, "For you have rescued my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I shall walk before the Lord in the land of the living." This is the land of the living. And we're to be walking with the Lord as we go through it. So we're going to get the band to come up here, and we're going to start with the first song. And it's plain and simply, it's called Revival. And that's what we should be praying for. And I ask that you just stay standing at the end of this song as I'll enter into a time of prayer, and then we'll move on to the next one. Graham. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for bringing us here today. We thank you for bringing us to this place where we can safely praise and worship your name and to learn about you, Lord God. Lord God, I pray, just as I said before, that revival will come over this place, that the Spirit will touch the hearts of everyone here, Lord. Be it people sitting in the pews, Lord, the AV team, the praise team, the prayer ministry team, myself, Lord, that we'll all be touched by your Spirit. So let's ask that you be with us now, as you always will be, Lord, through this whole service and continuing on, Lord. Amen. Amen. I've come to know, though my So if all like to get our Bibles, I'm going to come to reading the Word of the Lord. It's going to be from Matthew 8, 23 to 27, page 973 on the Pew Bibles. Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us. We're going to drown." He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." Amen. And that's the word of the Lord. Bless us all. Now we're going to be coming to our kids' song before the kids head out to K4C and creche. And this song, I don't know what Graham's up to, but last time I preached here, this is the same song for the kids' section. So I'm kind of thinking either the Lord's speaking to me and there's something about this song he wants me to hear, or Graham has a very limited amount of kids' songs and we've come back to the full rotation. But no, after this song is sung, the kids and young ones can leave for K4C and creche. Yeah, love this song. Everyone knows I love this song. You can sing, you can dance, you can roly-poly. You can do whatever you want, as long as you worship the Lord while doing it. So let us all stand. Let us all sing.
Jesus, put this song into our heart. Jesus, put this song into our heart. It's a song of joy no one can take away. Jesus, put this song into our heart. Jesus taught us how to live in harmony. Jesus taught us how to live in harmony. Different faces, different races, he made us one. Jesus taught us how to live in harmony. Taught us how to be a family. Jesus taught us how to be a family. Loving one another with the love that he gives. Jesus taught us how to be a family. Jesus turned our sorrow into dancing. Jesus turned our sorrow into dancing. Changed our tears of joy into rivers of joy. Jesus turned our sorrow into a dance.
Young ones may leave for K4C and creche. now going to come to the time of the worship when we give up our tithes and offerings to the Lord. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for the generosity that you've put in the hearts of everyone here. And Lord God, I pray that this money goes towards your kingdom, to the building of your kingdom. May this money be blessed to do your work, Lord. Amen. I'm now going to ask Ben to come up as he leads prayers for us.
Is that optimistic? Let us pray. God, I just want to thank you this morning for allowing us to come into your presence. And I thank you that your God, he listens to your prayers. And I just pray especially this morning, God, that you'd be with Scott as he comes and shares your word with us. I just pray that his words would be your words. And I just pray for this church, God, as we continue to move forward and try to grow out into the community, God, I just pray that you'd be at the center of all that we do. And I just pray especially for those that are leading up our ministries, you know, think of BB, Madhouse, just all the different ministries, God. I just pray you'd be with those who are leading them up. And I just pray that you would continue to give us opportunities as a church to grow in faith and in number. And I just pray for everybody here and all the things that might be going on in their lives, God. And I just pray that you would just take a wee minute now just to listen to those prayers, God. God, just as we look a wee bit further in our own lives, God, we just look at the world around us and maybe we see a troubled place, God, a bit of violence and segregation, God, things you probably hadn't planned for this place. And I just pray for all those out there who are serving and are going out in your name, God, trying to bring peace and happiness, God, really. The situations where people are starving and where people are without homes, and you just think of the big refugee community that there is at the minute, God, out in the world without a home. And I just pray that as a country we could be open and continue to have the doors open for others. And I just pray that you can help us with that, God. Give us the strength to go out there and talk to people we maybe wouldn't have talked to before, or open the doors to our houses, God, as the world is changing. And there's a lot of movement. You just think of America as well in a minute, God, and the political situation there is there. I just pray that we would know that your hand is on that, God, and you can be with the Americans as they vote and that. And God, just thank you that you do hear our prayers. And we lift all these things up to you now, God. Amen.
So you just want to keep your Bibles open at Matthew 8, 23 to 27. I'm just going to read it over once more. Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake, so the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us. We're going to drown." He replied, "You have little faith. Why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." Amen. Now, most of you here know me relatively well. There's one thing you probably don't know about me, and my family over there can definitely vouch, that one of my biggest fears is being on an airplane. Cannot do it. I can do it, but I can't sit there calmly. And this fear started a few years ago when I was away in Newcastle in England, and I was coming back into Belfast City Airport. And I don't know if many of you have come from into City Airport before, but when the gale force winds blow, they blow. So I'm sitting there in this airplane, shaking left to right, going up and down, absolutely petrified. Made even worse when the two air stewardesses run past me, saying to each other, what are we going to do? And run and strap themselves in their seat. I'm thinking, that's it, I'm a goner, I'm done. That was the first time I ever sat down and prayed for my life. I didn't think it was going to be going well. I was praying to God to spare me, to not let it be me. I was probably making promises that I can't even remember now, so I doubt I kept them. At the end, we landed safely, got to the ground, and that was fine, and I'm standing there shaking like a leaf. But that's my fear. Now, I'm not going to ask you what your fear is, but we all have them in our lives. We all have things that terrify us, situations that come up and leave us vulnerable, leave us trembling, or even, in my case, fearing for my life. These things that we're going to start referring to through this as storms. Now, this is the exact same thing that the disciples were going through in the boat. They were terrified, they were scared, and they thought their life was done for. Now, this is a famous story from the Bible. And if you were brought up in the church, I could put any money on it. You were probably told this in Sunday school. But I believe that this verse has kind of been Sunday schooled a bit. This passage hasn't been emphasized, the severity of what was going on, the real danger that the disciples were in at this time. And let me briefly explain. The boat they were in, it wasn't a Sea Cat. It wasn't Porter Ferry or a 31-foot sailing cruiser. No. This is a wooden boat, maybe about 20 feet in length. Not the highest of boats, a very shallow depth. And probably not built to the highest quality either. Now, the boat itself was out in the Sea of Galilee. And for those of you who know, the Sea of Galilee is not actually a sea. It's a very large lake, 13 miles in length. And the reason it was referred to as the sea, this lake, is surrounded by mountains. And it's one of the, according to my source, it's one of the lowest lakes below sea level. And because of these factors, when the winds come, it brushes down through the mountains and sweeps into the sea. And it causes storm-like conditions, waves that can only be comparable to what you'd find out in the seas or in the ocean. So we have 13 men in this small boat, built to medium standards, and waves that would give any probably modern-day boat a bit of trouble. And they were terrified. They were afraid. This was the real McCoy. This wasn't some waves that the disciples were a bit choppy on and one of them felt seasick. This was a big storm. I'm trying to emphasize the true danger in which they're in. Most of these guys are fishermen. They've been brought up on the lakes. They've probably been in storms like this before. Yet this one, for some reason, had them completely terrified, leading them to run to Jesus, thinking that they were going to drown. They were completely overcome with fear. What happens when we're put into these situations of fear, of storms? How do we react? Disciples, they ran straight to Jesus, which seems like the right thing to do. But instead of having faith in him, They were calling him to save him. They truly feared they were going to die. They actually doubted Jesus. Now, this story is told in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in all three books. And in Mark's account, in Mark 4:38, disciples wake Jesus up saying, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Now, how many of us have been in that situation? Where we face something in our lives and become completely overwhelmed by it, that we start to blame Jesus for not coming down miraculously and automatically and instantly changing the circumstances in which we're in. We'll click our fingers, making all our pain and suffering go away. Now, what we have to remember is that we face storms and fears in our lives because we're human. Being a disciple of Jesus didn't even exempt these men from facing these storms. And these guys were basically the best mates of Jesus. Just like they faced them, as will we. Now, we're going to face literal storms. Again, just as the disciples did, we're going to face hurricanes, tornadoes, blizzards. We're also vulnerable to Mother Nature. But we're also going to face storms in our lives, such as sickness, poverty, loneliness, death, disappointments, accidents. Take Paul, for example, who can only really be described as a true warrior for Jesus. In his letter to Corinthians, he lists the various storms he faced in his life. In 2 Corinthians 11, he tells us that he's been shipwrecked before, that he has been beaten, that he has faced perils in the waters also. I'd love to say that Jesus promised us exemption from all of these things, but he doesn't. Again, in John 16:33, it says, "I've told you these things, so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble." The world is going to go and turn against us. There are going to be periods in our life in which we feel like everything's going wrong, nothing's going right, that we get scared and we find times hard to face, that fear grips us and takes over and doesn't let go. If we're to face storms in this life, be it literal storms or not, we have to take heart. Take heart that Jesus helps us deal with these storms. One of the first ways in which he does this is to do with our faith. When these storms face us, sometimes we feel like we're going to drown, like we're going to perish. And what a natural response that is. We can easily view the storms in our lives as the things that are going to tip us over the edge. Just like the water was coming into the boat of the disciples. The boat wasn't that high. It wouldn't have taken the biggest of waves to come and fill the boat up. And I'm sure in this situation, our boat was filling and filling and filling up and was getting worse and worse. Now, when they awake Jesus, what's the first thing that he says to them in verse 26? "You of little faith, why are you afraid?" What a kick in the teeth for the disciples. These guys are the big men, the followers of Jesus, the chosen men. And they've just been told that they have very little faith. Jesus asks why they are afraid, but answers it straight before by saying, "You of little faith." So to come over, face the fears in our storms, to face the fear in our storms, we need to grow in faith. Now, I'm sure there'd be people who would hear that and be like, "Oh, Scott, how dare you say I need to grow in faith? I go to church every Sunday. I read my Bible every week. I lead the kids' ministry. I don't need to grow in faith. You need to grow in faith." All I can say to that is we can never have enough faith. We should not be limiting it. We should be striving to keep growing in our faith, striving to know the Lord better, to know that God will protect us in these storms, if it is his will. In Psalm 46, verse 1 to 3, it says, "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in our trouble. Therefore, we will not fear." No matter what we're going through, what storm clouds come booming towards us that take over our lives, that take over how we think, that take over how we act, changing the way we view things, we must hold still. We must be strong. We must remain truly faithful to God, knowing that He is our ever-present help in trouble. Unfortunately, sometimes in these storms, especially when it comes to illness, things don't always go the way we want them to. There are times that people are going to lose their lives and such. At TAP, Norman asked us for prayer requests on Wednesday for friends, family, community. And the one thing, the one word that kept popping over into each other's, in everyone's mouth was the word cancer. Now, we hope and pray that all those going through this will be healed, that they can go on no longer suffering. We hope and pray that. But unfortunately, it doesn't always go that way. So that's when faith comes in. We must have faith to know that God will take all of those who accepted Christ in their hearts to His heavenly home. And that's faith. To be able to look beyond this life, to be able to look beyond a situation that seems endless and to know that God is in control, that God is holding on to us. It's like looking through a window and seeing complete darkness, but knowing if I walked out there and walked through that darkness, there will be light. All of this happens in His will. Like I said before, we're not exempt from storms. Sometimes Christ isn't going to calm them, like He didn't instantly do on the boat with the disciples. Sometimes He walks with us through them to teach us, to prepare us for life. Though we have to take comfort because He is there protecting us and shielding us, with us the whole way through. So to face these fears, we have to have Christ. And where are our feet? Where are our foundations found? Are our foundations found in Christ? And Jesus tells us that we're going to face troubles on earth. The rain came down and the floods came up, but the house on the rock, it stood firm. Taken from another famous story in Matthew 7, 24 to 27. Where are your foundations set? What is it that holds you still during your storms? According to the story of this man, of the two men who built the house upon the rock, there are two answers. You could be standing on the sand, unlevel, loose, scattered, or plain and simply, you're standing on your own two feet. Now, I don't see this as simply saying the non-Christians, they're all on the sand, but, you know, us Christians, we're on the rock. We're good. But there's no problem there. There are times that we're standing on the sand ourselves, and we're not placing our feet on the rock. And look at the house that came and was built on the sand. What happened? When troubles hit, when the rains came down, when the floods came up, the house, it crumbled. It fell. It was swept away. But the house on the rock, the house that had firm foundations, the people, we have firm foundations in Christ. They stood still. They stood upright. They were not leaning or relying on themselves, but instead on the foundations that we have to build in Christ. Because He is there to hold us straight, to hold us steady. The disciples, they were not fully built upon the rock. They were still on shaky ground. They feared and they doubted. And when the storm hit, they started to crumble. Now, there are a variety of storms that we can face in our lives, from the big things to the small things. Each storm is judged by our own personal response to it, but none more comparable to the storm that each of us here is going to face, the day of judgment. Christian, atheist, gay, straight, man, woman, Catholic, Protestant, no matter what creed, community, or family we belong to, we will all be standing in front of Christ, and we all will be judged. But good news, we have good news. The storm does not have to be feared, because Christ Jesus Himself shed His blood for you. He died on the cross. He suffered immense pain so that you, on Judgment Day, the biggest storm you'll ever face, you'll be spared. Your love for Christ will be seen before all the sins that you've committed. By obeying the gospel, by accepting Christ into our lives, by following him, we can have our name in the Lamb's Book of Life and escape this condemnation and judgment. We can face this storm, and we can walk straight through it. We can do that. I know I'll be doing that. I have Jesus and the Holy Spirit in my heart. But do you know yourself to be saved? Do you know that when this day comes, you will be okay? The only way that will be is if Christ resides in you. If you don't want to face this storm, which you're going to face, if you don't want to face it and not have an escape plan, speak to someone. If you want Christ to reside in your heart and you want to have a firm foundation in Christ Jesus himself, speak to someone. There are people here. There's myself. There's the elders, prayer ministry team. There's Neil when he's back next week. But never wait. Never wait. Now, I know Neil says this at the end of every sermon. Come to Jesus, come to Christ. If you're not, you must, you must, you must. And that has to be done. If we are to love our neighbor, we should be telling them of the greatest love of all. The act of dying on the cross. To take the sins of those who do not deserve to be saved. For them then to be saved. So talk to someone. Meet Christ. Know him. This man Christ is both man and God. When on the boat and he is awoken, he stands up and simply rebukes the wind and the waves, and it was calm. This man, Jesus, has completed power over natural elements. This story takes Jesus' unique authority to the next level. He says a few words, and the storm is stilled. I would love to have seen the disciples' faces when that happened. The complete shock, the complete joy, being in complete awe of what's happened. And I know a few of those would have been educated in old scriptures and probably thought back to one of the Psalms. And like Psalm 104, it says, but at your rebuke, the waters fled, and the sound of your thunder, they took flight. Jesus is demonstrating the identical sovereignty that Yahweh God from the Old Testament was accredited to. Those disciples would have been amazed. And I ask, what happens when you go through storms in your life and you come through the other end good and someone comes up to you being like, oh, Flip, what you went through, that's, oh, that must have been hard, but well done for getting through it. And you're like, yeah, I did. I've done well. I've persevered and I've done well. I got through it. I was very happy with myself. Here I am. If we get through these storms, if Christ leads us through these storms, what a time to praise and worship him. And sometimes when you're in these storms, it seems like, what's the reason for them? But if you get out of them, imagine a testimony that you will have to say to others who do not know Christ. Imagine what you can tell in a personal story, not just, here's someone from the Bible, but here's someone from the Bible, but here's something that happened in my life, the exact same. Why wouldn't you want to allow him into your heart? The Lord God that controls everything. Meet him. Know him. Let him show you what he can do in your life during your storms. So we're all going to face storms in our lives. We're all going to be fearful. Everyone. But how we're going to act in these times is very important. Shall we cry out like the disciples did, who were weak in faith? Yes, they were in real danger. But they weren't fully relying on God. Their faith was not sufficient. Or shall we weather the storms, knowing that our foundation is in Christ? Now, I sometimes find myself hard to understand. So I've come up with an analogy that came to me in the middle of work, to which I then started texting Graham. I was like, Graham, I need to change the song at the end because this is just, it's come straight to me. So imagine we're on a boat. We cannot see in front of us. The fog is everywhere. It's the middle of the night. We don't know where we're going. We're just basically potlucking it. Everyone on board is terrified. We feel like we're going to be lost forever. We're moving forward at good speed. The waves are crashing either side. But then we see a lighthouse. And what does a lighthouse do? It indicates land. Trouble for our boat. How should we react? Should we be like, oh, lighthouse, how could you? You've told me there is land. I'm going to crash now. You could have told me earlier. You could have helped me earlier. All's going to go wrong. I'm going to get hurt. My boat's going to be hurt. Why would you do this to me, lighthouse? What do we say? Thank you, lighthouse. I trust you, lighthouse. I know that you indicate land. I have faith in that ability of you. I know that there is land ahead. I thank you for leading me through this dark, scary time. I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to listen to your guidance. And I'm going to turn around. And I'm going to avoid the land that is ahead of me. Jesus is the lighthouse. We're not to give off at him because we're in stormy times. We are to rejoice and to remain calm. Because during these storms, he is holding us up. He is with us. And be it his will, he'll take us away from these storms. And I know there are people in this room right now who are going through storms in their own lives. From the big to the small, from relationships to family, illness, work, school. We all face storms. We all view our storms differently. My storm may be viewed as not a storm to someone else, and vice versa. It's down to our personal view and opinion of it. But I encourage you that if your foundations are with Christ, that if you're on the boat with Christ, you can get through it. Knowing that he is beside you is a reason to rejoice and worship, even in the hard times, in the dark times. Have that faith that he is with us always and forever. I'm just going to end by reading this. One night I dreamed I was walking along the beach with the Lord. Many scenes from my life flashed across the sky. In each scene, I noticed footprints in the sand. Sometimes there were two sets of footprints. Other times, there was only one. This bothered me. Because I noticed this, that during the low periods of my life, when I was suffering from anguish, sorrow, or defeat, I could see only one set of footprints. So I said to the Lord, you promised me, Lord, that if I followed you, you would walk with me always. I have noticed that during the most trying periods of my life, there was only one set of footprints in the sand. Why, when I needed you most, you were not there for me? The Lord looked at me and replied and said, the times when you have seen only one set of footprints, it is then that I carried you. These storms may seem dark, these storms may seem scary, like there's no end to them, but through it all, Christ is carrying us. He is with us. He is guiding us. Always with us. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for what you've done. We thank you for your word that we can read, that in our storms that you can calm them, that you can be in the boat with us, you can be in our lives. So I just pray that we all remember that when we go through these hard times that you're there. And as that famous poem says, that it's in these times that you carry us, you protect us, and you shield us, Lord. So I ask that to remain heavy on our hearts. That though it seems dark, though we seem blind, that you're seeing for us and you are there with us. Amen.
In my wrestling and in my doubts, in my failures, you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. You are the peace in my troubled sea. In the silence, you won't let go. In my questions, your truth will hold. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Oh, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise. You will carry me safe to shore. Safe to shore. Safe to shore. Safe to shore. I won't fear what tomorrow brings. With each morning I'll rise and sing. My God's love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. You are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. My lighthouse, I will trust the promise. You will carry me safe to shore. Safe to shore. Safe to shore. Safe to shore. Far before us, you're the brightest. You will lead us through the storm. Far before us, you're the brightest. You will lead us through the storms. Far before us, you're the brightest. You will lead us through the storm. Far before us, you're the brightest. You will lead us through the storm. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. My lighthouse, I will trust the promise. You will carry me safe to shore. Safe to shore. Safe to shore.
Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you that you're leading us. We thank you that your light goes before us and you shine and light the path so that we can see, Lord. So as we leave this place, may we go with you before us. May we follow you. May we follow your footsteps. Lord, let us be servants for you. Let us do your will and your work, even in our hardest of times, Lord. Amen.